Alright, let's see how this come out and works for this day, and hopefully that rain and the weather didn't get to you too bad last night. You know, we got Christmas coming up soon, so I kind of want to talk about some points about that. Now, we'll be reading mostly from, we'll be talking mostly in Luke 2 and 8 and 14 mostly. And we're going to talk about the contrasts for three types of individuals in that passage. And possibly the best known and beloved scripture read at Christmas time is Luke 2, 1 through 20. We'll start at Luke 8 and 14. Well, Luke 2, 8 through 14. Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill for men." You know, I know a lot of y'all probably seen Charlie Brown, either read the comics or seen the show he does for Christmas or whatever. And him and Lucy are always going in. And Lucy came to him and during the Christmas special and said, "You know, how about we just lay aside our differences and be nice to each other just for this season?" He said, "You know what, Lucy, that sounds good. But why do we have to do it just for this season? Why can't we do it all year long?" She looked at him with that crazy look and just like, "Are you a fanatic? Are you crazy?" You know, she gave him that look like, you know, "No, that's not going to happen all year long. But why can't we do it all year? Why can't we take Christmas through the whole year with us? Why can't we treat people with that extra little bit of kindness that we treat them with at Christmas all year long? Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could actually start to practice the thing we hear and sing about at Christmas? Wouldn't it be nice to take Christmas with us all year long?" Now, when I was in the Navy, we had this guy work for. He was avid skydiver. He loved skydiving. Every weekend he got a chance, or any time he got a chance, he was skydiving. And it was one Christmas rolling around, and he compared skydiving to Christmas. And I'm like, "Okay, I got to hear this. How do you compare skydiving to Christmas?" He said, "You know, you first jump out of that plane, you know, you feel the freedom and excitement, and you feel the joy, and you see the perfect world that God had created down there as you fall in, and you just feel the free breeze on your face. That's kind of how we feel during Christmas. We feel excited. We know Christmas is coming. We're getting our gifts, and we got the songs going, and we just feel real excited." He said, "But right before you get ready to hit that ground, you pull that ripcord, and it just jerks you back. And you hit the ground, and everything jolts, and you roll around, and you're back down to earth. And that's kind of how it is after Christmas, right? As soon as you open your gift, and Christmas is over, and you play with your toys, and you're seeing the smile on your kid's face, and all of a sudden, that next day, you're right back at work. Brought you back to reality, and it's just all over with. Christmas is done." And that's kind of how you compare it, and I never really thought of it that way. But doesn't it happen? Doesn't it seem like right before Christmas we all happy and joyful? We're excited to see our kids open those gifts, and everything is just happy. But then soon, next thing you know, Christmas is over, we're back at work, and we're just going through the everyday things of life, and kind of not that same happy and nice and excited person who was right before Christmas. I'm going to read another passage, Matthew 2, 1 through 12. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. All the Jerusalem was with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judah, for thus is written by the prophet, You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler. Now when Jesus was born in the Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, there was a wise man from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that was born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When King Herod heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all his chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judah, for this was written by the prophet. And though Bethlehem in the land of Judah are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come the governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had heard, had privately called the wise men, inquired of the diligent what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, and that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced in exceeding great joy. And when they were coming through the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in their dreams, that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. We see the same thing now as the people who love and worship Jesus and those who don't. What about the shepherds who had heard the angels and saw baby Jesus? Did it make a difference in their lives? And what about the wise men who came to worship, who brought gifts of gold? I'm convinced that once they saw Jesus, their lives were never quite the same again. You have the shepherds and the wise men. We see love and joy and worship. But of King Herod, we didn't see this. As we read here in verse 16, a little bit on down. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in the Bethlehem and all the coats thereof for 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. You see, King Herod, he was dark hatred, and he seems dead. Why do people react like Herod? Why are some people filled with love and happiness while others are filled with darkness and despair? I think we can learn something about that as we look again at what these scriptures tell us about the shepherd and the wise man and Herod. Maybe through Christmas, it will mean a little more of a difference to us. God can work with people who are prepared to receive this message. First of all, I think God chose to announce this to the shepherd and the wise man the wonderful news of the coming of Jesus because they were prepared for that event. Somehow their souls were sore and had been plowed and made ready the planting as though the glorious news. And who understood the idea of sacrifice better than the shepherds? Do you realize how close Bethlehem is to Jerusalem? They're just a few miles apart, separated by some hills and which shepherd raised their sheep. Israel tells us that many of the sheep raised on those hills between Jerusalem and Bethlehem were raised specifically to be used as sacrifice in the temple of Jerusalem. You see, once a year, every Jewish family was supposed to come to Jerusalem and offer a sacrifice in the temple for their sin. And the animal that they sacrificed was generally a lamb. They didn't bring the lamb along the way with them from their house. Instead, they would wait till they got there and they would buy the lamb from the shepherds. And the shepherds spent their whole lives on that hill, you know, raising these lambs and taking care of them, making sure that they was ready for sacrifice. And they realized that sin was so awful in God's sight that it required the shedding of the blood and giving of life. So how appropriate is that this shepherd should be the first to hear about the Lamb of God, who would be the Savior, the Christ the Lord. They were ready for that. Their minds were uncomplicated. They were not great thinkers. They didn't think of reasons not to believe. They just believed. Their hearts and their soul was ready, and when God spoke to through the angels, they listened and accepted the news with great joy. The wise men were also prepared. Evidently, they had studied the great prophet of Israel. Undoubtedly, they came from the area where Daniel, the prophet, had such great influence and power. Did they have some of the prophecy of Daniel that we don't know about today? I don't know. But somehow, they were waiting and hoping. And when they saw the bright light that started shining, they knew it meant something special. They recalled all of the things that they had learned, and they were ready to take the journey, because they knew that the star meant that somehow a king had been born, and they wanted to worship him. They were prepared and ready for Jesus. But King Herod wasn't ready. Have you ever wondered why Herod didn't see the star? It was bright enough for wise men in the far country. It was bright enough for Herod to see it too. Why didn't Herod hear the announcement of the angels? Why didn't he see the heavens light up on that first Christmas night? He could have seen, he could have heard, but his eyes didn't have, but he didn't have eyes to see or ears to hear. Christmas came to Herod surely as he came to the wise man and the shepherd. But Herod did not know it because he wasn't prepared. You see, if we resist him, if we ignore what God has done for through Jesus Christ, then Christmas on December 25th, as it always does, but it would mean almost nothing to us. Because our hearts are cold and insensitive to what God is trying to do in our lives. Christmas is almost here. Are you prepared? Or is your heart soft? Are your ears sensitive? Can you hear God telling you of his love for you? Jesus makes the difference out in the world. Wouldn't it be something if we could take the message of Christmas wherever we went? Now, I know that it's not fashionable today where we're being told all the time that you can't mix church and state, that somehow you got to put your religion in a box and take it out only on Sundays. You're not supposed to pray in school. You're not supposed to talk God at work. But for many of us, that's hard to do. I really believe that if people have been touched by the message of Christmas, that they have to be a Christian everywhere. Rules and regulations may try to restrict us, but we need to take Christ with us wherever we go. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could take Christ into the marketplace, into the workplace, into the schools, and wherever we might go, and not leave him in the manger? What a difference it could make. Jesus makes all the difference in our lives. If we take Christ into our home, into our jobs and our schools and our activities, then he becomes the sole foundation of where we can build our lives. There are people preaching that what I believe is false doctrine, that says if you become a Christian, then God will take care of everything for you. You won't have to be concerned about anything because God will make you healthy and wealthy from that day on. So some are making that foundation of their faith, and when it doesn't happen, then they lose their faith. But God never made us that promise. He didn't make that promise to Mary and Joseph that they wouldn't battle hard times and wouldn't have hardship. They had to flee from Bethlehem to Egypt. As we read in Matthew 2:13-16 and 19-23. And now that they departed, and behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by the night and departed from Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, and they might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I call my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was extremely angry, and he sent forth and put to death all children who were in Bethlehem and all districts from 2 years and older, under according to the time when departed the wise men. Now when Herod heard was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take your young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the young child, life or dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judah instead of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in the city of Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called Nazareth. When they were able to go to Nazareth, do you think that the life there was a bed of roses for Mary and Joseph? It wasn't. They still had the fear of the rulers of the country and still looking for him and everything. God knew, promised them that, you know, that, you know, you have Jesus, that we want to, everything's going to be easy, everything's going to be simple. In fact, someplace along the way, Joseph dropped out of scene. We don't know what happened to him. We don't know how or when he died. But somewhere along the way, along the line, Mary found herself without a husband, without a father for her children. Life wasn't easy. It was hard. I wonder if she felt God had forgotten about them. How about us? We have problems too, don't we? We shed tears. We've been touched by death and illness and hardship. We face financial troubles. Life has not been easy. It's been hard. They were willing to, we ought to be like the shepherd. They were willing to take a wise man and a shepherd. They were willing to take that journey of faith to see Jesus. Secondly, when they heard the message of the wise man, the shepherd were willing to step out and take the journey of faith, but not here. I love the words of the shepherd. Shortly after the angels went back into the heavens, they said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." They didn't say, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see if it's really true." They didn't question the message of God. They didn't question the announcement of the angels. They didn't sit around and think about all the impossibilities and how it didn't make sense. No, they rushed to Bethlehem to see the baby. It was a journey of faith for them. How about the wise men? Have you ever put yourself in their place? Can't you see them standing out there in the front yard, getting their camels ready to go for a long journey? They loaded up everything they had. It was a journey of faith, you see. And faith does not make sense to people who don't know the message or who don't share the faith. It was a journey of faith, and faith can only be explained by a heart that understands what faith is all about. But for Herod, there was no faith. He heard the message from the wise men. The wise men came to Herod's place and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was troubled. Where is this king? I haven't heard of any king." Quickly, he called together his chief priests and, you know, he was like, you know, where is this king you're talking about? I mean, you know the story. Herod sent the wise men on. He had an opportunity to learn about the new kings, but he didn't have eyes of faith or heart that believed. So while the king was born only a few miles away, he was not ready to receive them because there was no faith in his heart. That is a problem, isn't it? There's a world, there's a whole lot that can't be explained. You can't explain the virgin birth. You can't explain the heavens lighting up and angels announcing the birth of kings. You can't explain mystery stars shining above. You can't explain all the drum and glory and wonder. It's divine. It can only be understood with a heart and a mind of faith. Before Christmas will ever be real to us, our journey must be a journey of faith too. We must realize that we would never completely understand the wonder of God's love, but in faith we must be ready to accept it. Christmas means surrender. It means sovereign God of heaven looked down and saw us dying in our sins and said, "I can't let this go on. I must do something about it." He surrendered his glory and his power. He became a baby. He walked among us. He went through the everyday life that we do. And he was prosecuted and spit on and driven nailed to his hand and his feet. That is surrender. Christmas means giving. Not the brightly wrapped gifts to people we love, but giving of ourselves. Yes, we take down our Christmas trees and put our decorations back in the storage every year. All the presents have been unwrapped, the suspense is ended, but the music lingers. May the song of peace and God and goodwill forever be in our hearts. May our homes be filled with the fragrant sound and excitement of Christmas forever. May we take the message with us so all the world might be touched by it. May be touched by it as we have been touched by it. So here we are. Some of us like the shepherds. We don't have much. We don't know a lot about what the world considers important. But we are ready to listen to what God has to say. Others may be like the wise men, searching for the truth, asking questions, knowing the promise that if we will seek the truth with our whole heart, that we will find it. Unfortunately, there are many like Herod who are hateful towards God, towards Jesus, who hate him rather than love him and will not receive what God wants to give. And every year at Christmas time, the great line is drawn. There are people who are like shepherd and wise men coming to Jesus to worship him. And there are people like Herod who stand hard and cold, resisting all God is trying to do in their lives. Into what category do you fall? Who best represents you? God wants to take all the Herods and make them into shepherd and wise men. But that can only happen when you are willing for it to happen. When you are prepared to receive his message. When you are willing to make the journey of faith. When you are willing to surrender yourself. Are you willing to surrender yourself today? Are you willing to hear the message? There's anyone in need of prayers of the church or subject to the call, standing, singing, song, and